So I'll start off with just a run-through of what I'll talk about during this presentation. So I'll start off with a project introduction. So looking at the plan for this USB storage gateway. Then take a quick look at Ceph. Next off, look at USB storage, particularly on Linux. Then do a demonstration of this USB storage gateway. And then move on to public cloud or a public cloud gateway implementation using Microsoft Azure. And finally, finish off with just sort of, yeah, some future challenges that could be or should be addressed with this project. So this project was conceived with SUSE Hackweek. So basically, yeah, I work for SUSE Linux, and normally once a year we get a week of time to work on whatever project we feel like working on. So in this case, I had an ARM board, which I'd purchased recently, so a Cubitruck board. Yeah, it was gathering dust in the corner, and I thought, okay, I'd like to do something with it. The goal of Hack Week is always to learn something new, and then also, being a storage developer, I wanted to do something storage related. So that's where I thought, okay, how about I work on a USB storage gateway for Ceph? So in this case, we have our Ceph storage cluster, which offers us huge amounts of redundant, reliable, scalable storage at the back end. If I want to access that storage with a device that doesn't have a Ceph client built in, then a gateway like this would be useful to sort of translate those Ceph IO requests at the back end to the just basically USB storage on the front end. So just reiterating the goals of the project, I can then access the cloud from anything. So my television or stereo, they both have USB ports. They both support mass storage. So with something like this, I can just plug it in and use Ceph for everything, for all storage. Another option is that I could use it then to boot from the Ceph cluster. So my laptop, where the BIOS itself doesn't support booting from Ceph, then in that case, I could boot from USB, which is backed by the Ceph cluster. Everything works. The final goal, so simple configuration. I just wanted to have something which was as easy to use as possible. Basically, you set it up once, and then you can forget about it and just plug it in and out, plug and unplug it like you would a normal USB key. So now look at Ceph. So Ceph is a really cool open source free software project that handles aggregation of storage across multiple nodes. So basically, you're pooling then the storage resources from this cluster into something which you can or into a logical pool which you can then divide up and use as a file system or as an object store or as a block device store. It's highly available in that no single point of failure. It does scrubbing, replication. Everything's managed by Ceph itself. It's incredibly scalable, so you have organizations like CERN using it to store 30 petabytes of data, I think they've played with. So it's a really cool project. It has, on the client side, sort of a number of different interfaces. So we have on the left, or sorry, at the base there, we have RDoS, which is this reliable autonomous distributed object store that handles storage of the objects and everything that's needed from this object storage cluster. On the left, we have LibRDoS, so we can basically integrate our application with a Ceph client using LibRDoS. There's an object storage gateway, which supports then S3 and Swift protocols. There's the block device interface, so RDoS block device, which is what I'm focusing on for this talk and this project. And finally, there's also a POSIX clustered file system with Ceph2. So a few words on the block device interface. This is basically a block device image which is backed by objects within our Ceph cluster. Has a number of cool features like thin provisioning, online resize, snapshotting. And there's also on the client side for RBD, we have the in-kernel Linux client. And there's also user space clients using libRBD. So there's QEMU support where you can have your VMs plumbed directly into or utilizing directly those Rados block device images on the Ceph cluster. So the hardware I was using for this project, so I mentioned I had this QB truck lying around. This isn't sort of ideal for a storage gateway. It has heaps of interfaces which just aren't needed for this. After initially implementing it with the QB truck, I then moved on to this NanoPi Neo. So this is a lot cheaper. It costs under $10. It's got everything that's needed for this project. So USB on the go and a 100 megabit network interface. Another board which I'd looked at doing the same thing on is this chip from Nexthinco. So they're based in Oakland, but that has then, rather than the wired Ethernet interface, that has wireless onboard and NAND, which is quite cool. Also under $10, I should mention. So the main priority in selecting the hardware was that I wanted support for the mainline Linux kernel. So there are thousands of boards out there. Most of them use some sort of outdated kernel, which isn't updated that much. With the Allwinner chips, there's this excellent SunSea community behind it. So they're not working directly with Allwinner, not really sponsored by Allwinner, but they just do awesome things with these chips or these boards. There's an OpenSUSE Tumbleweed port, at least for the QB truck board I mentioned earlier. Hopefully we'll have something for the NanoPi Neo at some stage as well. They're for the price, quite performant. So this, I mentioned earlier, has a 100 megabit network interface. It has a quad-core ARMv7 CPU and 512 meg RAM. It's sort of everything that's needed. Sorry? It's called a NanoPi Neo, so it's produced by a company called Friendly Arm. So now USB storage. We have basically two mechanisms for transporting SCSI over USB. There's the old bulk-only transport, and there's USB-attached SCSI, which has some better performance-based features, so command queuing and out-of-order completion, which are quite interesting performance-wise. On the Linux kernel side, we have then this mass storage kernel module, which basically implements just the bare bone, a very minimal SCSI target, and handles everything within that module. And there's also this TCM kernel module, which plumbs into the LIO stack on Linux. So this is the generic SCSI target on Linux. So with this project, I've covered everything. Basically, the kernel does everything that's needed. There's really not much that needs to be implemented here. We have the kernel RBD client for Ceph. We have our USB gadget or device mode support. We also have Lux or DMcrypt support, which is cool if we want to do transparent encryption, decryption on the gateway itself. So in the end, it's just about handling configuration, making that as easy as possible for the user. So the user or administrator can then just copy their Ceph credentials configuration file onto the device, the DMCrypt key if they want encryption, and then all we need to do is handle mapping and exposing that via USB. So here's a look at how that's implemented, basically as a sequence or a boot sequence for this little board. So we basically have, or we're booting a normal Linux distribution, Linux kernel. What I then do is have it provision a file system, just a FAT32 file system, based on or backed by a RAM disk. This is then the configuration file system, so the user sees just a regular FAT file system, can then copy on their Ceph credentials, specify which image or which Rados block device image they want to have exposed via USB. And what we then do is handle the eject event. So once the initiator or the user ejects the file system or the device, we intercept that and then commit that configuration and can then go ahead and map the Rados block device image and expose it via USB. So now a demonstration. So what I have here is on my laptop, I have a Ceph cluster, so to speak. I have just a vstart Ceph cluster with three OSDs, one mon, pretty minimal, but does what's needed for this demonstration. So I'll just connect my board then, or the USB gateway, to my Ceph cluster. And the board is then also powered by this USB cable, so power and data. So that'll take, I haven't really optimized boot time at this stage on this board. I showed earlier. What we can do is when configuration is completed by the user, subsequent plugin attempts can use this fast path. So basically, rather than showing the config.fs and waiting for the eject, we just map the Rados block device image and expose it immediately. It still takes a while to boot. I did have the KubiTruck board down to like under 5 seconds for the boot time just by doing everything from initRAMFS. Good. Well, the config file system has come up, so I'll just bring that over to your window. There we can see it on the left there. So here we have, this is the configuration file system, which is provisioned by the board and is now exposed via USB. So a client now just comes along, a user comes along. They have their Ceph configuration and Ceph keyring. They can just copy that into the Ceph directory. There's a DMCrypt directory, which takes then a Lux key if the user wishes to have transparent encryption decryption on the device. There's this flag, which then triggers, or the removal of this flag triggers the fast path so that we don't reach the config file system. I actually want to remove that for a later test. And finally, just the generic global config, which says basically which image should be exposed. So in this case, I have a pool on Ceph called RBD. That's a default Rados block device pool. And I have an image within that pool called USB. So the configuration looks good. I'm happy with that. So I can go ahead and eject. And as I mentioned earlier, what happens is we then intercept that eject event and then do the mapping and then expose it via USB. So we can see on the left here, I now have this 10 gigabyte device. So this now corresponds to my Rados block device image. So everything's happened now on the gateway. It's mapped it and exposed it via USB. so I can go ahead and utilize that storage. This is where, as mentioned at the start, my initial idea was to have this storage then used by stupid devices rather than something which has a SEP client built in like my laptop. So to actually demonstrate that support, I just wanted to connect the gateway to a mobile phone. So I have here just a regular Sony Xperia Android phone. This has a USB on the go port, which is capable of powering my USB gateway. So I'll just go ahead and connect that. So in this case, we remove the, I'll just bring up the slides again. So we remove that flag to request the fast path for the next connection, which means that the phone doesn't see the config file system. It just sees the Rados block device image immediately mapped. So with that, I will just actually make use of the storage first. So I'll just take a quick photo. Good. And I'll just copy that photo then to the storage. How was it? Good. So the photo is now copied onto the CEPH cluster via this USB gateway. I can now safely remove it, unmount the file system, and it's good to go. So now just to show that it worked and it actually copied something, what I'll do is just map the Rados block device using the in-kernel CEPH client. Should see, there we go, on the left again, the same 10 gigabyte drive came up. In this case, it's just using the CEPH client on my laptop, so it's not making use of the gateway at this stage. And looks good. There we can see the pretty bad photo I took earlier. Okay. So that's the demonstration out of the way. thank you. With this same device, I also hoped to use it as a gateway for the public cloud. So in this case, instead of having the CEPH cluster backing what's exposed by the gateway, I wanted to use the public cloud, so Microsoft Azure in this case, to back those images. This is possible using the page blob protocol on Microsoft Azure, so basically the VM images on Microsoft Azure are accessible using this page blob protocol. It supports basically 512 byte IOs at arbitrary offsets, which is perfect for, just a regular block device. So in this case, I worked on this using a user space backend for the Linux in-kernel SCSI target. So we have in-kernel just the regular LIO SCSI target within Linux that has then on the transport side support for fiber channel, iSCSI, USB, a number of other things. On the back end, we have a number of different storage engines. So the SCSI logical units can be backed by a file, by a block device. What I then used is the T TCMU backend. So basically what that does is sees the LIO target handle or forward the raw SCSI request up to user space via this TCMU kernel module. So in this case, what I have is a ElastoCloud project, which is basically implements the Azure page blob protocol. So that then handles mapping those I/O requests into Cloud I/O. The ElastoCloud project also supports the Azure Files Service and Amazon S3 protocols, but that's not what's in use here. It's just the page blob API. We have then a TCMU Elasto handler. So this is basically, I mentioned TCMU in that the SCSI requests are forwarded up to user space. Within user space, we have a plugin for this TCMU component, which then maps those SCSI requests directly to the Cloud I/O requests. So there's sort of a diagram of what we have. We just have the, on the left, the client side with just using a regular block device. We then have on the gateway just the regular USB gadget stack with the LIO SCSI target, TCMU, and finally Elasto at the top to actually do the Azure protocol requests. And now on to testing. So for testing, the implementation of this, I didn't really want to deal with plugging, unplugging cables all the time. So there is this cool kernel module on Linux, dummy HCD, which does basically loopback of any USB gadget onto the same system. So that's been really useful for testing this implementation quickly. Some of the challenges with something like this, it costs $10 or under $10, so you could obviously just have buy heaps of gateways and expose the same image to multiple systems via this gateway. That would then, with something like the FAT file system or a non-clustered file system, that would then be problematic. So that's not currently handled, but one option there would potentially be having the gateway request an exclusive lock on the image and then potentially snapshot that image so that any subsequent gateway connecting just is fed the snapshot, a read-only snapshot, might potentially help or make that a little smoother for users. Some other challenges, power. This board doesn't have a battery or anything in there, so it's very reliant or dependent on a reasonable source of power from the USB host. That's not something you can always rely on, so one option would be to add like a very small battery to the board. So I mentioned the Nexing chip before, this has like a battery connector where you could do something like that. Using the TCM USB backend, I had some problems with that on the board itself. So it seems to work when I use dummy HCD. Wasn't working on proper hardware, but that's no big deal because I can just use the TCM or the LIO loopback and just have it exposed as a local block device and then use the mass storage kernel module. Caching, many of these boards have onboard NAND, which could be utilized for caching on the gateway itself, so something to also look at. Performance, so I mentioned earlier boot time. At the moment it's pretty slow to boot, so really getting that down to as little time as possible would be helpful for users there. On the performance side, the performance isn't great, but I think in the end it's sort of made for these stupid devices which don't don't normally require, you know, awesome performance. You could though look at using USB 3 or gigabit Ethernet on the board, but then your price goes up quite a bit. So yeah, it's a trade-off. A few final words. All I can say is Ceph is amazing. Use it. It is a little limited in that you don't have a Ceph client on everything. So this is where the gateway is then helpful. USB storage is everywhere, so everything nowadays has a USB port, which you can then, for the most part, use for mass storage. Encryption on a gateway device like this is in my opinion, something I wouldn't do without for public cloud. So for public cloud, I would never trust the public cloud with my unencrypted data. I would always want to own the keys. And having that on the gateway itself is, I think, quite a nice solution for that. It's also incredibly cheap. So you can certainly buy something like that for all of your devices. They support mainline Linux, so you don't need to worry too much about running, say, an out-of-date kernel with security vulnerabilities or something like that. But otherwise, that's it. Any questions? Anything? No, doesn't look like it. I'll just finish off by saying thanks to the SunSea community. So I don't know the guys, but they've done really just some awesome work on these boards. The LIO target developers, so the Linux SCSI target developers, and also this board itself I was given for free from Friendly Arm. So thank you to Friendly Arm for that as well. Ah, yes.
How much data did you test it? Like, apart from photo, how much data were you able to write actually? Did you try
with the Ceph backend? So I can use it as a regular file system. I don't use it in daily life at home yet, but that was certainly my plan, was just to have my Ceph cluster in the basement and then any device which. So my stereo or TV, I can just then plug one of these things into and not need to deal with plugging and unplugging USB sticks everywhere. So.
I don't know much about the network capacity of these cars. How does that affect?
I'll just repeat the question. So the network performance of the board, was that your request? Or?
How does it impact your...
It's really not great. So it's a 100 megabit network interface. And I get sort of around 10 megabytes per second IO speed to the Rados-Bok device via this gateway. So. It's not great, but you can use something with a quicker network interface. It's just going to cost you more. So this one has the KubiTruck has a gigabit interface. The CPU can't quite drive it at that rate, but it's still better than something like the Neo. Yes?
If you look at wireless, so you're talking about battery power and plugging in like a TV somewhere.
Yes.
So you don't have wires snaking all over the house.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is where the chip from Nexinco, this has Wi-Fi built in. So I haven't worked on getting this gateway up on the chip. It doesn't have an OpenSUSE port at the moment, but it certainly should be an option. So it's basically a very similar chip to the same other boards.
At
the moment it just supports DHCP, so that ideally with the ConfigFS, you would just be able to do the network configuration through that as well. So just via a text file, you enter static or DHCP and do what you need to do there. Okay, thanks again.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions about the material presented in this podcast, be sure and join our developers mailing list by sending an email to developers-subscribe@snea.org. Here you can ask questions and discuss this topic further with your peers in the developer community. For additional information about the Storage Developer Conference, visit storagedeveloper.org.